What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
All right, all my bets for tonight are coming up to wrap up the show. And if you, dear listener, and you, dear viewer, are betting on the NBA this season, here's something that'll take the pressure off your picks. With the NBA No Sweat Token, you don't need to sweat if your bet doesn't hit. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. Download the BetMGM app, and please gamble responsibly. One of my absolute favorite people in the broadcasting space, and I've told this story before. I want to tell it again just because we have a new audience here, and he's heard me say it like through. I apologize. Adam Lefko is going to join us. He's here with us now. Turner Sports studio host, Saturday on TNT. The college basketball slate will be great. Host of the Big Podcast with Shaquille O'Neal. We'll get into that as well. Early in my broadcasting career, I get a fill-in opportunity at Bleacher Report Radio, and Lefko worked at Bleacher Report at the time, and he had me on as a guest, and I was like down in the dumps, man. My dad had just died. This is real life stuff. My dad had just died, broke up with the girl that I was seeing, wasn't getting opportunities, and you're a couple years younger than me. And you said stuff that was so nice to me in that interview. You actually gave me like optimism, like to move forward. So I've told that story before. I'm sorry that you've had to hear it like five or six times at this point.
No, it's
just
nice.
That like when I think of you, that always comes to mind. Just so people know, because you watch Lefko on TV and you're like, man, he comes across like a really nice guy. Like he is. I can confirm that. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy. How are you?
To all your viewers that love this version of you, you have to understand, like, this was that at Sirius? Is that where that was?
Yes.
So, like, it was like a dark hallway, and it's like all these studios, there's like no one really in them. And then, like, I open this door, and here's Nick with this voice that's like cutting through everything. And he's just like going at the microphone. I'm like, man, this guy's got energy. And he's like, I don't know, man. And I was like, what? I was like, I just came down this dark cavern and here you are under a spotlight just going. To me, it was obvious. I'm so happy for all your success. And of course, I'm coming on You Better You Bet. Even though I have taken a break from betting, I have to admit this on your show. I know that everyone loves gambling and gambling's great. I've taken about 2 months off, Nick, and my brain is realigned because I hit the biggest bet of my life is what happened, to be honest.
I feel like I get fired if I don't ask you the follow-up here. What was that bet that you won?
So since we're talking college basketball, in March of 2025, I decided to do, you know, I see all these bets online where people predict champions and stuff of multiple sports. And man, what a rush to get to live something for 9 months.
You didn't have Duke. Can I just start by saying this? You didn't have Duke. I feel like everybody had Duke in the NCAA tournament last year.
No, I took Florida.
Oh my God. You're the one that had Florida. Everybody else had Duke and lost on Duke, including me.
I did it on the tarmac at LaGuardia flying down to Atlanta for a week. And I was like, if I don't bet on right now, I'm not going to be able to get a bet in. And the SEC tournament, they looked so good. And I was like, what you said, everyone's going to go Duke. Everyone's going to go Auburn. They were third. So I took them. And then I just had watched the Celtics play the Thunder. And this was before the injuries and the Thunder looked really good. So I picked the Thunder. And then for the World Series, I picked the Phillies. And then I sat there and I went, the Phillies are going to let me down. Like, who would be the most disappointing team to lose to? And I picked the Dodgers. And so that game seven, I was up with a blanket wrapped around my head. I'm in the streets of New York just pacing after I won. It was like 51-1. And I hit that. And then the next week I put in like a 3-touchdown parlay for $50 and it hit for like 1500 and I felt nothing. And I was like, I got to take a break. I was like, I have tasted such a high that like, I need to get away from this for a little bit. Cause that I went, oh, okay, not good.
And the best part about that is, right, that parlay that you hit, and shout out to Orion Kirkring. I had the Dodgers also. We needed that, like, to cash that bet, unfortunately, for all the Phillies fans. Oh, so yeah. Florida obviously wins the Natty, but, like, and they beat Auburn pretty handily, not super handily, but they won that game on Saturday in the Final Four, could have lost to Houston. So you had that unbelievable sweat in the national
down
championship
double
game.
Double digits in the second half, crazy three at the end of the game. I thought it was gone. Tyrese Halliburton starts off game seven of the Thunder, and I'm like, Oh no, I'm against destiny. But yeah, like ninth inning, one out. Rojas like dives at a pitch and hits a home run when everyone's like Shohei is going to come up. I mean, and to make it worse, like as a Philly guy, to listen to five innings of them being like, and Bulbashit is this year's version of Joe Carter. Let's relive 1993. And I'm like having flashbacks as like a seven-year-old crying like to my babysitter because Joe Carter hit a home run off Mitch Williams. And I was like, this is just an awful way for it all to go down. And yeah, happened. And then what a moment. Will Smith from West Philadelphia, born and raised, goes out to L.A. for the Dodgers and hits the home run. Loved it. It was great. And he's not Philadelphia. Listen, it was just Fresh Prince.
Yeah, and I'll just say, just keep your wife's name out your mouth. Please just
exactly.
You know, you don't want to get slapped. But hey,
indeed.
At least things turned around for Philadelphia sports fans this past weekend with your Eagles. Now, look, I say that partially as a New Yorker rubbing it in. Also, the Eagles were my big bet to win the Super Bowl this year, so that was not a great result for yours truly. So they fired Petullo yesterday. Obviously, that has to happen. I think I'm right on this. I think a lot of people disagree with me. I'm fascinated. You're a big Philly sports fan to get your thought on this. I think like they may have to eat some money to make it happen. And it's crazy to say eat money to get rid of one of the best receivers in the league. I think they got to trade AJ Brown. Where do you come down on that as an Eagles fan?
Watching the game, you can't be the storyline all season long and then drop passes in clutch situations. Like you either get to be like, I need the ball more, and then you make plays, or you just kind of grit it out and you can drop a pass. Like you're allowed that. I think the big question is, what is the truth of the story in the locker room? I think it's very telling that they are keeping they say they may keep Petullo on in some form or fashion, which means they do not believe all of the blame goes on Petullo, which is what many Eagles fans believe. I have heard a rumor and a thought that maybe AJ Brown was saying things that the rest of the locker room couldn't say about the quarterback. And that is in essence the question. I'm seeing a lot of pundits and analysts right now from major networks talking about how Jalen Hurts is the problem. If Jalen Hurts is actually the problem, then I don't know how you mitigate that situation. I don't know if it's offensive minds. I don't know if it's different personnel. I'm not sure how that works. I will say this, and I think AJ Brown has been one of the best Eagles wide receivers in franchise history, and he's an incredible wide receiver. I do think, and I think he's taken a step back in terms of his speed this year. I thought there was a number of times this year where he didn't separate, where of course he would have that guy on his hip, but in years past, he's going the distance where now he's down for 20, down for 10. The Eagles' financial situation fascinates me because they've moved all of their payments into years in the future. And so usually that you cannot move on early from contracts. That's kind of the way, the give and take of it all. Nick, I think the biggest issue for the Eagles going forward is something that you guys haven't figured out still, which is a right tackle or an offensive lineman. The big loss for the Eagles was not having Lane Johnson in that game. Over the last few years, you could take any player off the roster, Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean. There are even times where they looked good without Jalen Hurts and Saquon. But if you lose Lane Johnson, it's a different team. They're like 500 without Lane Johnson. And I think it's coming to an end. And I think the scary thing, if you're an Eagles fan, is Landon Dickerson after that last game was saying that he's really hurt. The Jason Kelsey replacement, Cam Jerkins, hasn't looked good. They won a Super Bowl because of that offensive line. And if that offensive line is falling apart, then there are structural and foundational issues that could be big time issues long term, in my opinion.
You bet on this Wednesday. Adam Lefko, Turner Sports, big show, podcast with Shaquille O'Neal as well with us here on Twitter @AdamLefko. Now, I know you're taking a little break from sports betting. And this is not me trying to be like, hey, like jump back. I mean that sincerely. That's great that you're doing that. If I gave you $100 and I can give you the prices if you'd like to win the Super Bowl, and I said, who do you like if I give you $100? Seattle 3, Rams 320, Bills 550, Patriots 6, Denver 750, Texans 850, Bears 14, Niners 20. You are like the future's god, GAWD. There's $100. You did hit that parlay. Who would you bet and why?
Okay, so like there's the first part where you go, who do you think's going to win? And then there's a second part where you go, who's got some good value to it? Seahawks are 1, Rams are 2. My real gut instinct, the team, I think it might be the Rams here. I think that they have the D line. I think they have the quarterback. I think they have the wide receivers. That offensive line did scare me, but I feel like they can go into Seattle and get that win. I do lean to like a team in the NFC having success. Read me those again. Seahawks were 1, Rams were 2 at 3:30.
Buffalo's the third choice, Patriots 4th, then Denver, Houston, Chicago, and San Francisco. San Francisco, the longest shot.
What's Denver?
Denver is plus 750.
Plus 750 for the number 1 seed in the AFC is a pretty damn good value. For a phenomenal defense, for a quarterback that doesn't need to do too much, a really good offensive line, and a coach that's won it all, and that if you do get there, like the thing with the Broncos is they've come back from deficits. They did it against the Eagles. They did it against your Giants in dramatic fashion. Bo does have the ability to run and move. It is the year 2 and an offensive system, which is typically when quarterbacks take a jump and have made runs to the Super Bowl, i.e. I think Burrow did that. I think Hurts did that. I think Mahomes did that. That's a very interesting value. The fact that you get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And I mean, I don't know. Are you that much higher on the Patriots than you are the Broncos? Like if it was Patriots at Broncos, who are you taking?
I think I would take, if the Patriots defense plays like it did on Sunday night against the Chargers, I'd take New England. But I guess like we're not going to know until we see how they play on Sunday against the Houston Texans, right?
Yeah, totally. But like the Patriots' weakness is running the football, and like the Chargers don't have an offensive line. You know what I mean? So like they're not the best indicator for me, especially like, man, playing in Foxborough is, man, you got the other team's mind in a blender. I just think it's value, but I would lean towards the Rams right now to win it all. I'm curious where you stand on those.
I'm with the Rams also. Okay. I had your Eagles, but I was consistent. I think those are the best two teams in the league. I would have bet the Eagles if the Eagles had hosted the Rams. We're not going to get that opportunity. Obviously, Philly got bounced, so I will... Like, the Eagles were my number 1 choice. The Rams are my number 2, but I'll say the LA Rams also with you, Lefko.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's so interesting with Seattle, where... I always experience this in the betting world, where I guess they have to make it that number, but... I don't know. I just, someone like you, me, like I would never put money on that team in the playoffs.
You don't trust the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't trust the quarterback. I feel like the offense, I've seen it get stagnant at times. Like that defense in that environment can take over any game. They really can. The scary thing is that 2 of their division mates are still in the playoffs. And 2 of those division mates that have had success. Now, the Niners didn't have success the last time, but I thought Rams-Seahawks was the flukiest game of the season. And I left watching that game going, I think the Rams got screwed over by a rule I've never seen before. That backwards fumble that turned into a touchdown.
The 2-point conversion,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like that's always an incomplete pass. There were so many plays in that game that felt fluky to me, where I was like, the Rams were the better team the entire game. And I would take the Rams.
I think a lot of people will agree with you if we get that matchup on Championship Sunday with the Rams and the Seahawks in Seattle. Last one for you here. We got about 2 minutes. So I mentioned the big podcast with Shaquille O'Neal, and I would encourage everyone to follow that podcast on Instagram, Lefko on Instagram. The posts from this show, like Lefko's great and Shaq's really funny and the guests are great. Like the clips are sensational. Just had Tom Brady on the show. Like I watched a lot of those clips. They were great. What is the coolest thing that you've done in your association with Shaq on that show or otherwise? In about 2 minutes here to wrap.
So I didn't realize it was cool until a year later, but I knew it was cool because my wife thought it was cool. And this is going to sound weird on this show, but Kerry Washington came to, so we would do the shows in Shaq's like basement, but his basement is like a basketball court that was turned into a hookah lounge. And because it's at Shaq's house, it's called the Shahookah Lounge. And Kerry Washington was on the show. And my wife was like, I'm coming. Scandal was my favorite show of all time. So my wife flew down with me. We went to Shaq's house. His chef like made us like some breakfast, right? And then Shaq was early for the only time we've ever done the podcast, and he was wearing a freshly ironed pink polo shirt. And Kerry Washington came in, and she like hung out with my wife for like 5 minutes. And then we did the show, and I was like, I got to be honest, Kerry, I've never seen Scandal. And everyone in the room went, and I was like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I've never seen it. And I would say in the last 6 months, I've watched 5 seasons of Scandal, and I cannot believe that I interviewed Olivia Pope. Like, that is so crazy. So I didn't realize it till later, but I'll wrap it up like this. Same thing I experienced with Tom Brady. The coolest thing about interviewing people with Shaq is they show Shaq of them that I would never see and that we would never see. Because with Shaq, they're kind of like, what the hell am I doing here with Shaq? And when he asks them a question, you get that real guttural truth, not like that PR marketing truth, because they're hanging out with Shaq and that's really cool for them too.
You're the best. At Adam Lefko on
You're
Twitter. Check it. I don't disagree. Mutual Admiration Society. TNT coming up this Saturday. Yankers all of Turner Sports coverage. Like, we'll do this next. I just like.
I want to do this here. Before the Roland Garros, the French Open.
Hell yeah. Are you going to be in San Francisco?
For what?
Super Bowl.
Oh, for the Super Bowl? I'm going to be there Thursday, Friday.
We'll try and wrangle you, but please continue with what you were saying, that you'd like to come back on the show because we would love
I want to come back here to do Roland Garros. If you saw the video of me fist pumping because Coco Gauff won, it's because I had a parlay of Coco Gauff and Jannik Sinner, and then Alcaraz absolutely changed everything. But no, I want to try and put in some winners.
You're the best, dude. And I'll say it, you know, I won't ask you to comment on this. You're on a trajectory, man, professionally, to go down as like the GOAT, maybe doing studio coverage. You're awesome. I love it.
Wow.
Appreciate you coming
Means
on the
lot.
Show. Hope
Appreciate
to see
you
in the Bay Area, my friend. Our friend Adam Lefko here on You Better You Bet. One of the nicest guys, one of the most talented guys since, and also apparently like the future's god of sports betting. I will attempt to give you some winners for tonight. Right now, Kenny, please drop the dope ass beat. All right. Limited time here for the bets, and maybe a good thing given I had the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night against the Houston Texans. One NBA bet that I'm eyeing for tonight is the Philadelphia 76ers against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Philly's a 1.5-point home favorite. I have to be honest, like, I don't trust the Cavs this year, and Embiid's gonna play. For me, I like Philly better than Cleveland one for one, so you're gonna give me, like, a short money line price. I'll lay the Philadelphia 76ers against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And one bet in college basketball, Purdue is a 10.5-point home favorite against Iowa. Now, Iowa's point guard, Bennett Sturts, if he can control games, then Iowa has a good chance to beat basically anybody. I don't see that happening against Braden Smith and Purdue. I will lay the 10.5 with Purdue against Iowa. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to our crew. I'll catch everybody tomorrow on a tremendous Football Thursday. Until then, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Bleck and Abdallah coming up next here on Westwood One Sports.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.